But if there are four or five passages that you specifically want into the arbitration language, nobody better than the contractors themselves to decide what goes in and what does not come in. DOT shouldn't have, and the state shouldn't have any involvement in that whatsoever. This is a dispute that's completely out of our realm of jurisdiction, and we shouldn't be involved in it.
The only time you would get involved is stop work.
Or holding back monies that they told us, hey, there's a dispute for X amount of dollars.
Or barring them.
But we would only do the debarment if we had their recommendation in it. And their recommendation would not necessarily lead to an automatic debarment. The commissioner could override that recommendation.
Yeah, sure. Although you would suggest it to me that it may not be discretionary.
I said that initially, yes, because of the politics that it involved. And that's the only reason why.
It needs to be handled outside the realm of DOTPA. Arbitration.
If the legislature decides that they want that debarment to be mandatory, I would be the last in the world to fight it. Because having sat on the handicap board, knowing what is right from wrong, seeing things go up and yet seeing them turned over from time to time, it doesn't do your committee any good to have them spend time putting together decisions by somebody who knows little or anything about the subject matter. So if you want to make it mandatory, I don't have a problem with it. My commissioner might have a problem with it when it's got to be one of his friends. But
I have a problem with it too.
So, I don't know. He is a commissioner. He is a person who is supposedly on public scrutiny if he elects to overturn something that the arbitration board sent to him. Let him defend that at that point.
Well, we still have to figure out what exactly this arbitration board is, how it's going to be made up, and who it is.
Point the members,
who
pay them,
things like that.
Was deferred. I don't read anything in here stating how long the time frame was deferred.
Well, and that was
more than 3 years.
That was the other thing, I guess, that to me wouldn't be a bad thing to have in that recommendation that came from that arbitration board as to how long they would recommend the deferment period to go. It would be nice if there was one board that saw all these kind of things, but boy, you're talking a backlog there that would be atrocious.
Well, what was it you were thinking about?
As far as the department group?
No, as far as this arbitration business, and who would do it and that sort of thing.
Obviously we know there's going to be two parties on it. There's going to be the two parties that are in conflict with one another.
Well, they wouldn't but they wouldn't be sitting in judgment on it.
The prime should sit on it. The prime should be sitting on it.
When the prime may have a direct relationship with one of the parties and not with the other. I think that would be appropriate. Well, there'd be at least an appearance of a conflict of interest there. It seems to me if you're going to have somebody arbitrating, it would have to be somebody completely neutral to the dispute.
Well, I guess you could go out and hire an independent arbitrator and let his decision rule. Both parties make their pitch their bitch and let one man be the person who decides.
That's sort of where it sounds like.
And I don't really have any problem with that either. And let the prevailing party prevail in all cases. And I don't have a feel for what it costs you to get an independent arbitrator.
They're not that expensive. There's a lot of arbitrators. Arbitration agreements, valid application of article, a written agreement to submit an existing controversy to arbitration, or a provision in a written contract to submit to arbitration a subsequent controversy between the parties is valid, enforceable, and irrevocable except upon grounds which exist at law or in equity through revocation of a contract. However, ASO 943010 through 180 do not apply to a labor management contract, so we don't have to worry about that. Proceedings to compel or stay arbitration. An application of a party showing an agreement described in AS 0943010 and the opposing party's refusal to arbitrate, the court shall order the parties to proceed with arbitration. But if the opposing party denies the existence of the agreement to arbitrate, the court shall proceed summarily to the determination of the issue, and if the agreement is found to exist, shall order arbitration. On application, the court may stay in arbitration proceedings commenced or threatened on a showing that there is no agreement to arbitrate. The issue, when in substantial bona fide dispute, shall be immediately and summarily tried in the state ordered if no agreement is found to exist. If found for the opposing party, the court shall order the parties to proceed to arbitration. So we ought to really just go ahead and invoke the arbitration proceedings right here.
As they're written?
Yeah.
Does that give time frames, though?
Hearing. Set a time and place for the hearing and cause notification served personally by registered mail not less than 5 days before the hearing. Appearance of the hearing, waste of notice, parties entitled.
It doesn't give a period of time from when it's first filed until the hearing.
No.
Well, those might be some things that we'd want to look at.
Well, we could cite this, we could cite 010, which is the arbitration.
43060.
No, let's see. 09 and 40. 3010. And that gives them or allows them to representation by an attorney. Witnesses, subpoenas, depositions they can take. Awards. The award shall be in writing and signed by the arbitrators joining in the award. The arbitrators shall deliver a copy to each party personally by registered mail or as provided in the agreement. An award shall be made within the time fixed by the agreement, or if not so, fixed within the time the court orders on application of a party. The parties may extend the time in writing either before or after the expiration of the time. The party waives the objection that an award is not made within the time required unless the party notifies the arbitrators of the objection before delivery of the award to that party. Why not? I would say that would be the easiest way to handle the situation of modification. Why does this not cite arbitration of small claims even? Arbitration under court rules, the Supreme Court may provide by rule for compulsory arbitration of a cause of action filed in Superior District Court demanding only a money judgment when it appears that the man on the cause of action is for $3,000 or less. That's changed now, it's $5,000. That's for arbitration of small claims. So I really think if you invoke the arbitration site, and maybe made it, put that in there that they go after their licensing bond. Mm-hmm. If they didn't come up with the award, they didn't do the monetary, they go back to get that bond.
Because all we would take is...
And if that didn't cover it, then the payment fund?
Yeah.
Three separate cases.
Well, I wouldn't
three
say
separate cases, but the only one that's going to get you to the root of the culprit. If you continue to keep coming back to the project payment and performance bonds, you're not hurting the party who's causing the problem.
All you're doing is making the rest of the small guys out there's bond payments go up because they do pass any awards on to others in that category that are trying to receive bonding. That's the problem that you have with
it. Which is what, specifically?
All right, say you have ABC Roofing Company, okay, and their payments in performance bond, the bonding company had to pay out on that, okay? I can assure you that the next time any roofer on a state job, a muni job, or anything comes along and he wants to up his bond, say from $5,000 to $10,000, they're going to nail him because every time they pay out in a classification of a bond, that goes up, the cost of that bond, and that category of work goes up on the cost of the bond payment.
Mm-hmm. Why can't the subs, our third tier fellows, go to the small claims court?
Because it may be more than the $5,000. They could go to that. They could go to that.
I think anyone can, depending on the amount of the claim. If it's less than $5,000.
If it's less than $5,000, they're small claims.
This is Jen from Representative Cato's office. Donna came down earlier and asked for a copy of the committee report for HB.
That $25,000.
And we had passed a committee substitute out of committee that day.
I guess my feeling is unless you go after something that's going to hurt that
on the committee report, I gave
guilty
her a copy
party, they're going to continue to do the same thing in the next contract.
Sure. But why not? Of course, what you could do is have a.
Okay.
just increased project costs considerably. Now we're right back to the same scenario that we were earlier.
Well, specifically what we're talking about here then is requiring, first of all, requiring that any subcontract on a state project has to have a mandatory appropriation clause. That's number one, right?
Yeah.
If you can get it written as any public works contract as opposed to a state contract.
Yeah, public works contract, I'd rather
see
that.
Because now you've got municipalities and school districts.
You got the munis and the school districts and the whole shooting match. You've got the munis and the school districts if you make it public works projects.
Versus state contract. Unless you want to say any contract funded through state funds.
Well, but then that could be real tricky too.
The problem with that is you got to track it down.
Yeah.
Public works contracts.
Public works
is
contracts
way to put
is the best way to handle that language. Yeah, because that encompasses everybody. It's a good idea to do it that way.
Okay, now who's going to oppose us on this?
All the communities?
No, they'll never see it.
They'll never see it.
It won't affect the bid price on their contracts at all.
Okay, what about people in the industry on both sides of this particular?
The people who are going to be opposed to it are the people who constantly do it.
Oh, well, I think there'll probably be someone that has the same, another bunch of mess to have to go through, even legitimate guys. Well, see, there's another rule, another regulation. Don't want changes. We're already down. Put another burden on us of having to do something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
tell
you, probably get a lot of.
What's the downside? Is there a downside of this for small subcontractors?
Hell no. I can tell you with all the contract dispute work that I have done among small contractors, this is an ideal way. I have had more of the small contractors spend $5,000 or $10,000 worth of work for somebody who didn't get their money, okay, because somebody up the line hauled off and left count with their money.
That's going to help it.
Well, it's not, but at least he'll have some recourse there. At least he'll feel more comfortable about doing business with some of the people that he's having to do business with.
At least he knows that if he got the guy this time, he isn't going to have to worry about facing him again.
That's right.
Yeah, but he can do that now. He can go and sue on that registration bond right now.
Yeah, he can.
And take it, and if it's for $5,000 and he prevails, he gets the bond, and the guy's license is revoked, and it's bye bye.
But why would they do it?
Because the costs are more than $5,000, and they're going after the one that's going to cover the whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is the deposit.
Yeah. Which hurts your client, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first suggestion would be that any subcontract. Any public works subcontract and have a mandatory arbitration clause. Now, there still has to be a mechanism for deciding who the arbitrator is and how the arbitrator is going to be paid. And there's got to be.
Put that in there, cost causers, cost payer.
Some of the letters that are coming in.
If anyone's decided that was strictly a wise move or not, here.
I love it.
Somebody's going to be paying in spades for that one. I'm not sure.
At one time, I had a problem with that, but I was fixing to go testify one afternoon, and the mail came in, and my paycheck came in, and I found a direct correlation between the procurement bill and my paycheck. It's called Reese's Full Employment Bill.
Oh, yeah?
Fought that thing to the end. Some things that we couldn't get taken out, but I said, well, I'm going to be around for a while. I can see that.
It makes life better for you, I guess, Risa.
Oh, yeah, it's just fantastic.
Fees and expenses of arbitration. Unless otherwise provided in the agreement to arbitrate, the arbitrator's expenses and fees, together with other expenses, not including counsel fees, incurred in the conduct of the arbitration, shall be paid as provided in the award.
Paid as the arbitrator. Those court order arbitrations you're looking at there. Is that what
that section is? Uh-huh, that's the statute, yeah.
Okay, courts wouldn't be involved in this. Right? You're talking about contract clauses.
No, but there's still nothing.
The appointment of arbitrators by court. There's court arbitration.
But there's still nothing that says that we couldn't use those guidelines in the method of our arbitration.
Right, but you weren't talking about it.
No, I don't want to go to a court to have to get us into arbitration.
You're kind of big fiscal nut.
No, I don't think we need to get a court directive to go to arbitration. If it's in the contract clauses, it says this is how you'll handle second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth subcontract tier disputes, then that's immediately the way.
The simple that is, the clear it is. Understand
all this,
less controversy.
Yeah, that's true. And then there's still the way guys going to say,
you're putting me out
of this. But it's some kind of mechanism that's going to have to work relatively rapidly.
Well, that's the idea. I'm just wondering how you can actually make something like that happen. Particularly if you're talking, I mean, and also if you're talking about, hiring an arbitrator for what may be a relatively small claim. Of course, I suppose that's up again. It would be up to the guy who's getting sniffed to decide whether or not it was worth it to him. If he thought he had a good case, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess
his thinking would be that the other guy's going to have to end up paying the arbitrator's fees anyway. But even the word arbitration raises such red flags in some people's minds. I wonder if this is maybe the kiss of death for this baby. Anything you're remotely approaching the phrase mandatory arbitration.
At least it's conceivably workable. I don't know what this is.
I think it is. I think there's a question. I mean, they're going to have to be doing those under the existing law. Somebody at some time is going to invoke the law as they passed it last year, and then they're going to have to do it.
The frequency that debarment is going to come up under the normal context of debarment is going to be far less than what it would be if this automatically threw you into a case of debarment here.
It's serious,
really. I've heard the word debarment a lot of times. Okay. So, building in a mandatory arbitration clause is one. The second would be deciding how the arbitrator is selected, I guess, and who pays it. How the arbitrator is selected, will there be one?
No, usually it's a team. What they do is they have an arbitrator that one side picks one, the other side picks one, and it's usually a three-man arbitration team is what it is in contract disputes like this. And then you have, like, the chairman, and each side picks their own arbitrator, and then they agree on the third one.
The two arbitrators do, or the
No, the two parties do. Usually it's a three-person arbitration.
Do we need that?
Oh, you're talking about somebody that's going to get rather expensive.
Well, you don't have to have
could
that.
Could they agree
many.
On one?
Sure, they could agree on one. I'm just saying that's how they do it now. We do arbitrations now.
Yeah. You've done that, so you must have some idea how much something like this costs, a three-man arbitration team.
Well, it depends on how protracted the hearing is.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, you know, I've had them about 15 minutes after we go in there, you know, the case is so simple, you know, it's in and out like that, and most of the time the guy does not want to go in there because he knows that he has done wrong, he knows his name is going to be on the line, he wants to settle for you to go to the arbitration.
Well, okay, but hurry
up. Okay.
They're already paid for it. So you're really only talking about one.
You can designate whomever you please, and if they have an arbitrator's certificate in this state. You have to be a certified arbitrator to have arbitration hearings in this state. Usually what'll happen is that one party, and like I said, you know, I've dealt with three-man arbitrations or three-person arbitrations, is like the complainant has one arbitrator they have decided on, okay, the defendant has one, and then the two parties agree on the third. You don't have to do it that way. There's, I know in the lower 48, there's rotating arbitrators, okay? Okay, in lower 48, you have like class one, class two, and class three arbitrators, depending on what their backgrounds and their interests are. And you can have one arbitrator, and it's on a rotating type of thing. It's just the next arbitrator that's up on the list is who gets that case. You things like that. I mean, if you want to be great, we can be real great, but
what
we got to get
what
this
are you
far.
Talking
Cost-wise, I used to charge $35 an hour, which is reasonable. You know, plus you have all your research that you do. I mean, usually a case would only last a couple hours. You know, I would have to do a couple hours worth of research. Mostly my bills were never over $500 when I was on arbitrator for one day a year.
Like you pointed out earlier, if you're the culprit, then you can see that this thing is going to drag out for a couple of weeks at $50 or $100 an hour. It's to your advantage to settle before you ever got into the situation.
Yeah. Sometimes, too.
Well, it sounds like a very attractive idea.
Now, I don't know. If arbitrator is going to wave red flags or something, maybe we need to come up with a name, something other than arbitrator.
Mediator.
I was thinking about the labor context.
No, you could, well, you know, some people say arbitrator, some say mediators. I mean, you could always say it would go to a three-panel mediation board.
Well, you represent subcontractors. What would they think about it, do you think?
That's the reason I need to try to round up some people. It's going to take some time with my two key people being out of town. I'm kind of dead in the water, kind of sitting here. You know,
so a lot of chances to. I mean, you know what the next committee would do here?
Oh, I know. They're the amendments.
Great amendments. I'm sure. It sounds like an intriguing idea, an interesting idea, a good idea. I'm just trying to see the downside of it. I don't have your experience in this realm.
It's 15 years of construction.
Yeah. But I'm wondering why it hasn't been done before.
Here?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've tried to get a lot of things done and doesn't get done.
I mean, has it been another state you've worked in?
Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas.
And all those record work states.
Yeah. Hey, you're talking to one of the biggest labor people that there is. I mean, I support labor heavily, you know, but no, I've worked in those realms before where, you know, that is the law. South Carolina, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, all the states that I've done construction work in, they have those kinds of
mandatory arbitration.
I think I need to know who's going to oppose this. It's the Bar Association. But
actually, it could be, I suppose. It could be done in a way where you could invoke arbitration.
Sure. Yeah. If they didn't want to mediate it out, then you could invoke arbitration through AS09.
Well, no, that's still the courts you're talking about there.
But that's where it should be. If they can't settle it by a mediator, okay, and they go through all that, then they can't settle it. Then, if they want to pursue legal action, but this is a first stop before they have to go to the courts. I can almost guarantee you that 85% of them will resolve it at mediation, and of that 85%, 90% will resolve it before they even walk in the door.
What I was saying is 0943 only comes into play when the court orders an arbitration. I'm thinking this would be the first step where arbitration would automatically be triggered, or
mediation.
Whatever you want to call it, before a lawsuit is filed.
Right.
But should it be mandatory, or should it be? I don't mean the decision. Once the decision is made, I mean the whether or not to go to arbitration. In other words, if you have a dispute, should either party be able to decide what form it is they want to use? Maybe somebody wants to go right after the contractor's registration bond, and they want to screw with arbitration.
I would suggest. This is just a suggestion. Why don't we have a step process in here saying that they have the right to mediation and spell out what their mediation rights are, or they can go after the licensing bond, or they can invoke AS0943010, which is direct arbitration, or they can file a lawsuit.
So for different.
No, so you got four different things. Hey, Bubba, you got your pick. You can do whatever you want to do, but we're just telling you what your options are.
don't come back after the prime.
Yeah, don't come after the prime. Here's your other, here's your four steps that you can go after. Here's the four things that you can do. A, B, C, or D. Okay, and each one, the first one, which is mediation, the next one is going after the licensing bond, okay? The third step is arbitration, and the fourth step is lawsuit.
And you must go through those?
No, you don't have to, but those are the options. You can pick and choose what you want to do.
Yeah, I'm not sure if mediation or arbitration would both be.
But you got to remember, we're writing, hopefully we're writing this bill for the little guy that's on $15,000, $20,000 portion of work that doesn't have an attorney on staff, that doesn't have $150 an hour to pull out of his pocket, but at least it's given him some guidelines to say, okay, I at least know now what recourses I have. As it stands right now, he has absolutely zero, none, nada. This will give him some recourse.
Probably one of the reasons you don't see more people going after the contractor's licensing bond.
They don't know about it. They're not even aware it's there. That's right.
They all know there's a project bond.
That's right. They can read the contract and they see that.
That's
deep pocket sitting right there just saying, come on, jump right on in.
The subs know about the bond to get their own license, but they probably say, well, it's such a piddly amount of money, why bother with going through that one?
It's $5,000.
Yeah. And I just go after the gym and one fell swoop for those two steps.
Well, actually, what you really should do is join them both. That's what the logical way to do it when you join them both.
That's if you can afford to hire an attorney.
Well, you're going to have to bring Dr. Miller and Bob. You're going to have to.
Should we go through the rest of this? Your notice by subcontractor?
Yeah.
I like your first one then. I like that notice. I like that notice clause. That's wonderful.
No, I don't think that's any. That's that. It certainly doesn't sound like it'd be too great a burden on anyone to give notice to the contractor that you're involved.
There's nothing worse than having this guy show up and you go, "Who the hell are you?" Well, I'm working that portion of work for so-and-so, and you go over and say to him, "I didn't know you were even subbing that portion of your work out." That's even a bigger surprise.
Really, somebody going out and getting heavy equipment and then slapping their own sticky decals on
the side. Oh, don't tell
me
about that.
And you pay them up, and here comes the bill collector.
Mm-hmm. Risa and I could probably tell you some real hair-raising stories about construction jobs.
Horror stories.
See, that's another thing that needs to happen. This notification to DOT needs to happen quick enough.
Right.
So that we don't make payments. Thinking that everything. Pardon?
Which note?
From the arbitrator or whoever saying, hey, there's a case being heard. Hold that money until it's resolved.
So you come over on the retainage.
Oh,
it's not retainage.
See, now I personally believe that every job this state does should have a retainage clause in it. You ought to hold that retainer. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I believe in holding retainers.
You're still withholding an amount of money in dispute.
We're withholding payment, but it's not under the retainage clause.
Okay,
but you were worried it's something before.
We're holding money, but it's not the kind of money that you pay the 10.5% on.
Right. By their
We've been now put on notification by another authority that there's a claim out there. And we're holding money as restitution for that claim. We're not holding money from the prime.
No.
For not working fast enough. We now have a claim that we've got to protect ourselves from.
That's right.
We pay him, and the money is gone. Somebody's going to come back for restitution eventually.
Yeah, the general goes belly up and skips down. They're pretty sure they're going to continue
to have something like that. Yeah. Well, the bond company will.
Okay. On this withholding business, you're talking about subcontractors, Larry. You're talking about the context where your subcontractors come to work.
If we're notified that there's a claim pending on the project, which may come back against us,
the owner,
for restitution, we've got every right to hold that money back until that claim has been resolved.
Retainage
basically deals with if the contractor is not performing in accordance with what we'd like to see happen.
Okay, how would that sort of dispute come back against you as the owner?
notification.
What you're worried about?
Right now, the AG's office takes a totally different interpretation of the Miller Act. They're saying anybody that's out there can bring suit against us and we'll pay for it.
Well, I think that a lot of people do take that interpretation. All this is basically a firm statement that that's the...
And so right now, we're being told by our AG's office, whenever you've got a claim out there that somebody isn't getting paid, you hold back from that claim.
On Miller Act?
I don't know if they're using the Miller Act as the reason for it, but that's what they're telling us to do.
Is that Virginia?
Pardon?
Is that Rush? Virginia Rush?
No, Linda Walton wrote that particular passage.
Speaking of 10.5%, we're going to build out there until it does have to do with changing that percentage.
That's what I thought. You still not understand the difference between retainage and holding money from those?
Well, I think I do, but I'm more intrigued by the little thing you just said a minute ago about the Attorney General's involvement in the Miller Act cases.
Linda Walton, the AG's office, wrote that section 14. And when she says, hey, here's why you withhold payment, and these are the reasons why you withhold payment, I don't know if her reasoning is because of the broad interpretation of the Miller Act.
Section 14?
In
these things?
Yes. There's a section down there, I or K or whatever it was, that said, hey, we've been put on notice by a public jurisdiction in violation of the regulation.
Nothing to do with merits.
Yeah, that's got nothing to do with the progress of the project, which retainage typically goes towards. Retainage typically is held back if the progress isn't progressing in accordance with the schedule. We're doing that as a way of enticing the contractor. You didn't hear that.
So you guys, what you're saying is you guys are right now holding back?
We don't retain. We don't do retainage, but we do withhold claims.
For Miller Act claims.
If Department of Labor comes to us and says, hey,
well,
this guy's not getting paid.
That's something else. That's the wage troubles.
But we're doing it on subcontractors, too.
Well, that's
suppliers.
Like Miller
Act. Primarily, you're not doing...
But the Miller Act allows you to do that.
That's what I'm saying. That needs to be looked at, too.
It's a departmental policy that you want to do retainage because we don't want to kick out the 10%.
Yeah, what's happening with my acres, some of the contractors realizing that they're getting an automatic 10.5%. Becomes at their discretion when they're putting that final pass.
Yeah, I'm sure that game's being played out.
Yeah.
And that's why oftentimes we pay bills on face value and not even having enough time to really go out and investigate the work, because we know we've got to make payment within a certain period of time, and then along will come the next pay period, and in the meantime we've had to revoke some of the work that we applied it.
Well, let me ask you this. When you do withhold, not retain, but withhold money for subcontractors, how do you decide when and who's to pay it? Who's it to be paid to?
We're withholding from the prime contractor. Whatever resolution takes place through the claim dispute, whether they go to court, whether they decide out of court, who's to get the money, all we've been done, all that's happening to us, number one, in order for us to hold it from a supplier, there's going to have to be some kind of formal action brought through the AG's office. So the legal department is going to tell us, you now have a claim, hold back X amount of dollars. When they tell us that the claim's been resolved and such prevailed, then we release the payment. It goes to them. That's what happens on labor, wage hour disputes.
It goes to the general.
It only goes to the general, and it's left to the general to disperse it out if he lost his second ownership.
But that's only in cases where the general's
part. Well, where are we talking about?
Well,
that's only the prime contract. That's the only thing that they have to hold right now.
Right. It's only the case where a general is a party, right?
Right.
Which is why I was trying to differentiate between your fourth and fifth tier subcontractors.
Without talking to Linda, I'm not so sure we're only doing it on the primes. If we get a claim, see, we had a big dispute at one time how long to let the payment and performance bonds run. And the decision was that they needed to run 12 months because we would field a claim from any source for that period of 12 months. And when the claim comes in to our department and the AG says, hey, this is a valid claim, hold back, we hold back for it. What happens more often than not, Doug, is that we don't get these claims until the job's all done, and there's no money to hold back. And they say, hold back the money, and we say, hey, sorry, the only recourse now is through the bonds.
See, that's why I believe in retaining at least for 1 year.
here that also, if there's any problems on the job, you've got that stick there to get whoever needs to be back in there to complete the work and finish out the work and make any repairs. I'm a real big person on retainage. I mean, sorry about that.
But they don't do it.
No.
Well, part of the reason not doing it is because you're having to pay 10.5% on it. If you change that part of the law,
that's one better thing about it.
That wasn't the same story when the going rate of interest was 16% and 18%. But now that it's down to 6%, everybody's there.
Yes, so it is.
And that's exactly what you're referring to. People hold up delay payments simply because, hey, where else can you make 10.5 on your budget?
I've never paid interest on retainage, I'll tell you that.
Well, just start negotiating your contracts well enough.
Well, I think that's a statute. There was no negotiation involved there. That was a statute.
There was more negotiations. My predecessor years ago worked hard on that.
See, there you go. There was where the negotiations took place. Doug is totally lost.
He's wiped out.
I like Section 1 of the bill. That's my favorite one.
I like Section 1 with the clarification of subcontractors.
And I think this, I disagree with you, Linda, on this subject, but I think that this clarification is adequate. The definition is adequate. Even though it's a little clumsy. Would somebody like to maybe come up with some language on this arbitration idea?
You're the attorney.
Yeah, you're the one with all the experience in the field.
Hey, I'm just a field trash hand, that's all.
You sound like you're doing arbitrations.
I do mediations, arbitrations, everything. Well, I have done all of those.
You know all about this, then.
You got all my ideas. You wrote them all down. Called Bannister and tell him to put the fancy words to it.
Well, I'll do my best to interpret what it was that you
and,
said.
And if and, she needs some clarification, then fine. We'll get together and we'll buzz it through one more time before we bring it back.
I think maybe talking to the AG's office now might be a better idea ever since they said this is a new wrinkle.
Well, they confused it more, won't they?
Well, maybe. But I didn't realize that there was anything being withheld on, other than wage claims.
We've been told by Linda Walton's job that any claim that comes in will respond to it.
Right, but claims don't usually, how do claims come in? I mean, normally.
Generally through a lawsuit, and that's why they're coming in so late. That's one of the reasons why we don't see them until after the project is done. The project is done, and suddenly here's a supplier knocking on the AG's door saying, hey, I got this air conditioning unit that I can't get any payment for.
Yeah.
And that's why we have that 12-month clause in there on our payment and performance bonds. Was specifically for that reason.
Which is the protection
and
for
the
you?
Primes, if they really want
and the prime is the person who's getting hit every time.
Yeah.
That's why, contrary to your earlier comment, I think the AGC would really probably be in support of this if they had time to look at all the ramifications that are going to filter down from it. Because I think it's going to afford the AGC a certain amount of protection as well, the primes.
Well, what we're suggesting today is fairly far-reaching. I mean, it's not something that I had considered before. Well, this is the first time it's been brought up, I think. I mean, the registration bond question was brought up on Friday, but not this arbitration bond.
Let's refer to it as mediation, first step mediation.
Yeah, I think that may be a little less intrusive to the parties involved. To me, that kind of gives you the informality sense of
the thing that bothers me about I don't have any trouble with arbitration. I mean, I want a decision made. Because what I don't want to see is a subcontractor having to go through 4 or 5 different procedures to get the dough.
And I don't want to see that either. I can assure you of that, Doug. I don't want to say, well, I shouldn't say that. God, I'm going to cut off myself in the summertime.
I think your notice is going to
take a lot of those problems
away. Because what you've done supplier-wise, you're going to notice somebody, i.e. the general, and if the general is doing his job, he will, before he pays off any subcontractor, he will have a release of lien type problem.
When we make final payment, one of the things that we get back from the prime contractor is a release. And on there, he's swearing under oath and everything else.
To his knowledge.
Everything's paid off.
Yeah.
Well, at least under the notification thing, you can go back and call these people and say, hey, are you paid off? You know, I'm about ready to sign a release here.
Yeah. As long as everyone knows what that's a requirement for.
Well, yeah, the prime does.
That's been one of our major problems over the years, is not knowing who those potential creditors are out there.
Right.
If Don Abels or Bernard Builders, it's, you know, some guys feel like they've built projects more than five times, you know, when they haven't. Because of the problems in Georgia, so they had a major problem with the project out there.
Well, I mean, by putting a notice in here, if I'm the supplier, and I overpaid, and I haven't made a notice to that prime, I might not have any.
That's your
tough luck. There are some upsides to this, I mean, but we don't know how it might play out. You know,
well, the notice is my favorite
person. Oh, mine too. I mean, if you talk about protection, it does give you.
But we forgot to know who's
out there. Yeah.
The present time. It would scare me half to death in my own personal life if there was unknown creditors out there that I didn't know about.
Well,
that's why we get a sign of release.
Yeah, sure.
This is a very broad definition. I mean, a person who contracts other than an employee to furnish services, materials, or equipment
for a public construction.
It says public construction or public works. Will those people always know that they're doing that?
What?
That the selector furnishing the materials,
equipment,
or services are for a public construction or public work.
Well, when the stuff goes into Don Abels to get
the bid back, it
says, okay,
what job are you working on?
Oh, yeah. We're doing it for bird construction, doing the building.
In Juneau, they're going to tell them right up front because they're going to get a discount from the sales tax provision.
Oh, yeah, the vendors in Anchorage always want to know what job you're working, so in case I got to go out there and find you, they know where to find you.
Also to help maybe run the business, too.
Sure.
Well, let me see if I can.
Life is so simple, right?
I'm just going to advance some constituents.
But tell Terry, I'll be more than happy to, you know, if you want to explain it to her and give me some draft language to look at, I'll be more than happy to look at it for you, Joe.
Well, maybe in all your travels and all this, you can come up with something on arbitration anyway.
Mediation? Or do you want arbitration?
Arbitration, myself, because that means there'll be a decision in one way or another. So the attorney's going to be
hired. Yeah.
I was also thinking.
You're a session only employee, right?
No.
Oh.
There might be some way, it might have to be some mechanism tying in an arbitrator's decision to the registration bond. I'm not sure, I'd have to look at it. I'm not sure what your procedures are. In other words, getting an arbitrator's decision paid from a registration bond that Department of Commerce holds.
Well, there's precedent for that. It's cost-plus, cost-payer. That's precedent already in the state law.
Something that would happen automatically.
I know, but you can put it in there as a
court decision.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, but you could parallel it along the lines of 943.10.
Yeah.
I have a question. In mediation, you wouldn't even need to have a third party.
That's right. Well, you always have a third party to keep the two from jumping across each other's throats and fighting at each other and keeping control of the meeting.
Okay.
I do a lot of mediations. I've seen them come across the desk, so we better have a mediator there to handle the two parties, please.
Would this mean that all these options would have to be written into the contracts?
No, not if you invoke them under this.
If you put them in the statute, the only thing the contract would have to say is there shall be a mediation. There shall be a remedy clause in accordance with
whatever. Yeah.
And there it goes. It's there.
It's there. It's real simple, cut and dry.
So I guess what we're doing is actually enumerating what the only available remedies for contract disputes are. It's somehow in the section of the statute.
Subcontractors disputes.
I'm going to take section 1. Take it
section one and section on noticing of subcontractor and do that. And let them go figure out their own way to settle their dispute.
Certainly, within our own possibility. Since no one seems terribly satisfied.
And then have the board of mediators or whatever you call yourselves send out this little flyer to all the contractors around the state saying, hey, we're willing to solve your problems in this manner.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that either.
Oh, God, I think so.
You do whatever you want to do as long as you don't tie up DOT personnel. I don't really care.
I can see where
you're
coming from. Now I know what my interim job's going to be. That's right. Oh, yeah. Economic development.
You just made your own. Now you have an opportunity to really make your own interim job, and that is write that section on how to mediate.
I know how to mediate. Here you go, sir.
Oh, I made 5 seconds.
Oh,
if you want to keep that.
Oh, yeah, I would like to keep that among.
Incidentally, that only reflects what happens in buildings. The horizontal is slightly different than that.
I think so. This has been progress.